Praise the Lord. Thank you.
See, good song. Amen. Well, you recognize this story here in Joshua chapter 14. I want to talk to you about, the title is found in verse 12. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And I think we, so many times we sell God short in the things that we desire, the things that are on our hearts that God put there. You know, in my mind, I envision Caleb. He sees that land. He sees that mountain. And God put a desire in his heart, and he said, you know what? That's what I want. And I believe God wants me to have that, and I believe that's going to be mine. And, sometimes we have to dare to desire. We have to stick with it. We're so negative today. That can't happen. That's impossible. And I like Caleb here. I like Caleb down here too. But I like, just give me this mountain. And I want to talk to you about this story out of Joshua. We'll also go to Numbers 13 a little bit. But again, this idea of seeing something that you desire. Again, I'm not talking about a carnal thing. I'm not necessarily talking about a physical thing. It may be a prayer request. It may be a goal that you have. It may be something God's put in your heart. It could be a child here today, a teenager today. God's put in your heart. Maybe it's one of the young men. God's called me to a mission field. I'm going to do something great for God. You know what? Do it then. Amen? And don't give up that desire. Don't give up that that thing that God stirred up in your heart. As I think of Caleb, and he saw that mountain, he didn't even care about all the enemy that was around. He didn't care about the battles that were going to be fought. He didn't care about all the negative brethren that he had. You know what he cared about? He got his eye on that mountain. And he saw what was in his heart that he desired, and everything else did not matter. Folks, honestly, that's the way our prayer lives ought to be. That's the way our goals should be. If you dare to write down some of your goals and dare to write down something, I'm thinking about even myself, several things that I'm praying about. I want to hold on to those things. I don't want to give up on those things. If I desired it, I should desire it enough to see it carried out, as Caleb did here. Give me this mountain. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, speak to our hearts, and especially, Lord, I pray if there's someone here who's not saved, that you'd save them today. And above all, Lord, we just want to follow your word and do what you want us to do because of it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I couldn't help but notice while we were singing, the choir came down, and Craig Pearson, he came in over here and walked down this aisle and walked up here on the platform and got his Bible. And I was sitting there, I was thrilled about that. You know, I was excited because he wants his Bible. Because you need your Bible when preaching's going on. Amen. You know, you need your Bible. You need to have the Word of God. You need to see it in the Word of God. Hey, just because somebody says some words, that doesn't make it so. See it in the Word of God. And if you see it in the Word of God, you get it in your heart and you really believe it. People like Caleb, and you'll see this here in the Scripture, people like that, he saw that mountain, but more than the mountain, he saw a God that said, that's yours. He heard a God say that if you walk in and you claim that land, that's your land. That's your land. That's your possession. You can have that possession. And you know what? If you don't believe it out of the Word of God, and you don't get it from the Word of God, it's going to be easy to forget about. It's going to be easy where the Anakims and the Philistines and all the enemy, it's going to be easy for them to scare you off. But I like somebody who says, let me see it out of the Word again. Let me get God's promise. Let me claim God's promise. Number one, I want you to see His desire. His desire. And it all started in Numbers 13. Go back there. Numbers chapter 13. And we'll just be there for a second. I just want to show you a couple verses. Numbers 13 and verse 26, of course, Caleb was in the group of 12 that went to spy out the land before they were to enter into the promised land. God had told him that wherever they set foot, that was theirs. Any possession, you go in there, you claim it, that's your land. And, of course, Caleb, he saw the mountain, he wanted that. But in verse 26 of Numbers 13, the Bible says, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And by the way, it was a fantastic land, and anywhere that is God's will for your life is the best land. There isn't any place better. There isn't anything better for you than the will of God for your life. This was the will of God. And so it would only make sense that there'd be all kinds of fruit and it would be a beautiful, beautiful place. But verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And because of that, some folks give up on their desire. Huh? Because of obstacles, some folks say, well, this must not be of God. Since when? Read your Bible. There's always obstacles of anything that's worthwhile. Always. Amen. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled. Well, there's no way we could conquer that. No way. I mean, we saw Jericho. There were huge walls there. Remember what God did to those walls later on? He knocks down walls. But a lot of folks quit right there. Well, we saw the enemy. We saw the cities are walled. Very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But I like this. Caleb stilled the people. So all the people, I can just hear it. They're murmuring now. Murmur, 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 murmur. Right? They're murmuring. Because oh, there's enemy? Oh, the children of Anak, they're big. Ooh, they have big weapons. Oh, walled cities. How are we going to take over? How God said this is our land. We thought it would all be laid out with our names on it and nobody'd be there and we'd just walk in and take it. Yeah, you know, but I like Caleb. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And that's a good idea. You know, because he desired something. And he says this, by the way, he saw the enemy, he saw the walls, he saw everything that they saw. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Can I ask you a question? How did they know that? They arm wrestle some of them? How did they know they were stronger? Hello, they didn't. How do you know your desire is impossible? How do you know the walls are too big? How do you know that it can't happen? How do you know that that thing God put in your heart, that desire God put in your heart, not a sinful desire, not a wicked desire, but a right desire, how do you know that it can't be conquered and can't be done? How do you know? They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And I'm going to tell you something, grasshopperology has ruined a lot of desires, where you feel like you're a grasshopper. Let me tell you something, we're more than conquerors, my Bible says. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Every now and then I get a phone call, and I get them quite often from a college student. They say, you know, I just don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure I can go through this. I said, wait a minute. Didn't you tell me this was God's will and that you had a desire to walk across a platform and get a diploma? Then, my friend, you do it. Well, I just feel like a grasshopper. Well, bless God, you're not a grasshopper. And I don't care how big the enemy is. Don't care how big their walls are. Don't care how mighty their army is. Listen to me. Our God can do anything, and you need to get that desire and stick with that desire as Caleb did. He saw everything. He saw the obstacles. He saw the children of Anak. He saw the giants. He saw their walls. He saw everything that those other men saw, but the thing that got his attention the most was the mountain. And he said, you know what? That's what I've got my dream on. That's where my land's going to be. I want that mountain. Give me this mountain. I suppose every Wednesday we sing the song, I Want That Mountain. Every Wednesday. Usually it'll be a little bus kid will make a request. Can we sing? Hey, you know, I don't remember what the number is. Some of you probably know it. What is it? You're the one that always requests it, isn't it? That's what I thought. But we'll sing I Want That. You know, and I think, I often think, you know, maybe an adult might roll their eyes a little, you know, every week. But you know what? Who better to want a mountain than a bus kid? Who better to recognize that, much of life is a valley, and much of life is a negative, and much of life is the things of the world, and how much more would it be that they would say, you know what, I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to have the mountain. I'm going to have what God has for me. And they get a desire in their heart. Shouldn't we put that desire there? Shouldn't we cultivate that desire? Shouldn't we tell them, hey, you're not a grasshopper. Bless God, you're a child of the King. Amen. Somebody ought to get excited around here because I'm feeling like I'm the only one with any. And I'll take a nap this afternoon and get it back tonight. Amen. Look, his desire. Don't give up on the desires that God puts in your heart. Caleb saw Mount Hebron. He said, I want that mountain. Hey, what do you want this morning? I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about good. I'm talking about things that are okay. Is it a new house? Is it maybe a better transportation? Is it somebody to get saved? Well, that's a great thing to desire. What a great mountain to have. Somebody that you love and you want to see them trust Christ and you want to see them baptized. You want to see their life change. That's a great thing to desire today. Don't feel like a grasshopper. Don't feel like the walls are too big. Well, I remember when I wanted my dad to get saved and prayed all night one night and many, many times wept over my dad's salvation. And every now and then, those that spied the land with me, they said, oh, your dad's too tough. I remember dad threw Carl Hatch off his porch. I mean, he literally said, I will shoot you if you don't get out of here, buddy. And my friends went and they talked to my dad and our preacher went and Carl Hatch went and there was always those negative people around saying, oh, your dad, he's just tough. But you know what? I wanted that mountain. And dad got saved and dad's in heaven today. Praise God. Maybe that's your mountain. Maybe that's something that's a desire in your heart. Maybe it's somebody you love to get right with God. Don't you dare give up on that. Don't you dare. That God put that desire in your heart. You keep weeping over that. You keep praying over that. You keep fasting over that. You keep believing God can do anything. The desire. God said He'd give us the desires of our heart. I believe He puts them there and I believe He delivers. He gives us those desires. What's your desire today? What's in your heart that you just really want to see happen? Maybe you're single and it's for a spouse. Maybe you're in fourth grade and you're going to have to wait. Amen. I'm just saying, what is it that God has put in your heart? A desire that God has given you. Hey, listen, have some desires. Dare to dream and desire what great things God can do. Caleb, look, he saw everything the others saw. He saw the giants. He saw the enemy. He saw the walls and all of that stuff. Let me tell you something. He knew he had a great God. He was not afraid to desire a great thing. At all. Number one, his desire. Number two is his decision. His decision. And what his decision was? His decision was to let it be known and to go for it. Amen. His decision was, I want that mountain. I'm going to get that mountain. I'm not going to mess around with this thing. I'm going to let people know and I'm going to go for it and I'm going to have that mountain. Notice back in Joshua 14 and verse 7, he said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. You know what? He was not afraid to take his stand and say, hey, this land is our land. We can have this land. God said it was our land. And I don't care about all the enemy. He said, I want a mountain, and I believe I'm going to have that mountain. And he stepped up and talked about it. Amen. You know, that is a man that has conviction. He said, I brought word as it was in my heart. Hey, here's what is in my heart. Somebody comes, they say, God's called me to preach. And I believe God's called me to preach. Then bless God, you need to stand up and say, that's what I am. That's what I'm going to do. God's called me to teach a Sunday school class. Then amen, buddy, you need to step up and you need to just say, hey, that's what I am. Whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to do. Why? Because God, I brought word as it was in my heart, the word that God put in my heart, God laid it on my heart, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I love that. It's based on the word of God. That's why, bring your Bible to church. And if you leave your Bible up in the choir, come on up and get it whenever you need to. Don't be afraid. Don't think that anybody, well, what are they going to think? They're going to think you love the Word of God is what they're going to think. Amen. Hello. Well, you know, I just don't know. You know what? Follow the Word of God as we go through it. And boy, that's so important. Conviction. Conviction. He spoke out. He spoke out. 10 said, we can't do it. He said, God says we can do it. 10 said, well, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants. We'll all die. And he said, it's our land. God's going to give us that land. And I want that mountain. It's all based on the Word of God. It was what was in his heart. He believed God put in his heart. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's Caleb. You know, he spoke right out. He spoke right up. And it didn't matter what everybody, and I guarantee the murmurers had him outnumbered. I could just see him. Hey, y'all be quiet. He might even said in the King James, shutteth upeth. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what. His decision was, this is my land, that's my mountain, and I want it. Amen. I like what else he said in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. I like the fact that he forgives them. He calls them brethren. He doesn't say, those turkey buzzards that went with me. He says, my brethren. You know what? I mean, here's a guy. He decided that if I'm going to go for what my desire is, I'm going to do it with a good spirit. Amen. And he called those who opposed him his brethren. By the way, folks, let me say this. Don't make people's heart melt. Don't be a heart melter. Be an encourager. When somebody says, you know, this is what I believe God wants, don't put them down. Don't shoot them down. Don't say, yeah, but boy, you look like a grasshopper. Huh? Be an encourager. You know, so some guy comes and maybe he stutters or something, and he says, you know, I think God's called me to preach. Uh-huh. Don't say, are you kidding? Don't do that. You know, desire. Desire. But I like Caleb. He says, my brethren. He's not angry at him. He's not bitter toward him. He says, these are my brethren. Now, we don't agree, but they're my brethren. I like his obedience in verse 8. He says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly. I accepted his will. I trusted his word. And I'm standing on the fact that that's a desire in my heart. I'm praying for that. I'm begging God every day. I'll fast. I'll pray. I'll beg him. I've got a mountain that I want, and I believe God's going to give it to me, and I trust him, and I'm going to follow him. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of folks, honestly, they get to this point, and all of a sudden, now they're going to turn around. They're not going to go into the promised land, and they say, well, guess that's the end of that. Caleb didn't. You know what he did? He said, I'm just going to keep following God. Because if I follow God, that desire is going to be there. Amen. I'm just going to keep doing right. Hey, I talked to somebody recently, you know, and, you know, one of those love situations. And oh, the end is here. It's over. You know, break up and all that kind of stuff. You know what? Just keep following the Lord. Get on his path because the right one is waiting. She's got her hanky ready to drop. Do they do that anymore? The only thing I always dreaded about that is picking up a dirty one. But anyway, she's right. Just get on that path. Hey, young lady, be on the right path. Young man, be on the right path. Everything's there. And that desire's there too. Caleb doesn't know. He just said, I'm going to follow God. And I'm going to end up back on that mountain. That's my mountain. Follow God. You know, it's amazing how quick we get away from God when we don't get the desire when we think we ought to get it. Hey, just follow God. That's what he did. He just wholly followed the Lord. And he said, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to keep going and following God. God said he would bring us into the land. He's going to bring us into the land. And Caleb believed that with all his heart. Number one, his desire. Number two, his decision. Number three is his delay. And this is where we don't like any of this. You know, anytime you tell God's people you're going to have to wait on God, we get upset. You know, I want this and I want it right now. But sometimes there's a delay. Verse 9, it says, Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And you know what? Caleb held on to that thing, but he remembered that promise. And I believe for 45 years he remembered that promise. I believe as he started getting old, he remembered that promise. I believe as aches and pains started coming, he remembered that promise. Amen. I believe right at first he'd jump out of bed jump out of sleeping bag, whatever it was that they had, and he'd jump up out of the tent and he'd say, whoopee, a new day, hallelujah, I'm going to get my mountain. But you know what? Jumping started getting lower and lower and lower the older he got. Say, how do you know? Because it is. In fact, jump is not in my lifestyle anymore. Amen. I had a doctor. I was having problems with this arm. And having all kinds of trouble with it for a while. And he said, well, you need to do jumping jacks. And so instead of jumping jacks, I do jacks. I just started just doing that. You say, why don't you jump? I'm not sure I would recover after landing. I'm concerned about that. And so I just do jacks. But again, you know, well, but is it going to happen or not? He wasn't planning on when it was going to happen or not. He just knew it was going to happen, and he thought about it, and he remembered, hey, this is a promise. Do you know, we get in more trouble because you have not because you ask not, but we also have not because we forget. And we don't stick with it. And a desire that God puts in our heart, why wouldn't he do that? But see, we get impatient. And so when there's a delay, we have problems. Think about all the promises of God. Think about all the things God promises us. Provision, assurance. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promises us heaven. He promises victory. You know what it says in verse 10? It says, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So how old is Caleb?
He's 85 years old. Possibly doesn't have any teeth.
85. Think about that. We have a few folks that are in their 80s. We won't ask you to raise your hand or anything like that. But there's a big difference between 40 and 85. 45 years. That's quick, huh? Didn't even need an abacus for that. But I'm just saying, that's there's a big difference, folks. Huh? Yeah, but you know, he held on to that promise for 45 years. Can you imagine as they're walking away from that mountain, how hard that would have been? But it's not hard when you say, you know what? I know I'm going to get that mountain. Maybe we're just circling. Oh, they circled all right. It was a huge circle. You know, sometimes it looks like, why would God want me to desire this? Because God wants to do it. Wait on him. Trust him. Wait on him. Not only did he remember the past promise, but he also believed the word. He believed God's word. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight, but we don't believe that. Right? You suppose when they got so far away he couldn't even see that mountain anymore, he gave up? Nope. No, he didn't give up. He still saw it in his mind. Even though it was out of his sight, he still saw it in his mind. And as he prayed day after day, God, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. You put a desire in my heart, God, and I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what they said then. I don't care what they say now. God, I want that mountain. He saw that mountain. He saw his little house on that mountain. He saw his little fields by that mountain. He saw his family growing up around that mountain. He saw it all. Isn't it amazing how we so quickly give up our desires that are good? Do you still see that loved one at the altar? Do you still see that loved one in the baptistry? You used to. You used to sit in church and used to look back there, and maybe while I was baptizing somebody, or maybe Brother Weaver, Brother Cox, you'd sit there and you'd think, boy, that's going to be my loved one someday. Someday they're going to be getting baptized. When's the last time you thought about it? I mean, honestly, you used to remember and used to think about the service where you'd be sitting in the service and the invitation would be given, and that person that's so far away from God, all of a sudden from way back in the back, they'd come walking up and you'd say, oh, I didn't even know they were here. And here they come, and they came forward, and they're getting right with God, and I mean, their life is being changed. Isn't that what you desired then? Why'd you quit desiring? Why do we give up so quick? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why Caleb didn't give up, because he believed God. He believed it. And so in verse 12, it only makes sense. He'd say, now therefore, give me this mountain. I'm going to claim my blessing now. Here we are again, 45 years later, and I want my mountain. I was reading this and I stopped and I thought, what if God would have said, well, you can't have it now. We're going to turn around and go back out in the wilderness again. And you know what I think Caleb would have done? I think he would have wholly followed the Lord and said, okay, just another delay. But he's 85 years old. Give me this mountain. The delay. He claims a blessing, but then he recognizes, and this is what's going to have to get you through on these delays. He recognizes what God has done. And I love this as I read this and I see what he's doing. He recognizes, listen folks, understand this. Delay can't stop God. In fact, God is in the delay. He allows the delay. Understand that. The delay is not stopping God. God is still God. And all of a sudden, Caleb is recognizing for 45 years. And of course, we come to the end of it. But I believe day after day after day, he recognizes all that God has done. Do you understand what it means to wholly follow the Lord? Wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. To completely follow the Lord, it means to follow Him in the delay. It means that when you're up on top of the mountain, hallelujah, you shout and you're excited. But when you go down in the valley, you're still just as excited and rejoicing in the Lord. Because you're following the Lord and knowing, okay, well, today He took me through a beautiful field of flowers. But yesterday He took me through a slime pit. But I'm just going to follow Him. And to say that the flowers were of God, but the slime pit wasn't, then you must not have been following God. Hello. I don't know who we think we are that we can make everything the way we want it to be when we say we're following God. See, I believe the same God that I followed to Bible college is the God that I followed when I had no money in Bible college. I think He's the same God. I believe He's the same God through all the good times as He's the God through the tough times. Amen. Our problem is we don't look at it that we think we only have a God. We're as bad as Israel's enemy that said He's the God of the hills but not the God of the valleys. Truth of the matter is He's God of the hills and the valleys. Okay, well, can He take you into a valley? Can He take you away from your desire so that it looks like you're not going to get it just because, hey, listen, it's all by faith anyway. We're supposed to believe by faith. We're supposed to trust Him by faith. The delay doesn't mean that God is stopped. The only thing that's going to stop us is us. Trust and accept whatever God has. You know what's amazing about Caleb here? And honestly, it I just alluded to it a little while ago. I want to talk about it a little bit more. The fact that he called them brethren then, but for 45 years. By the way, they're all passing off the scene. According to what the Bible says, they all died. But you know, Caleb could have blamed them. Stay with me now. I'm on the back page, halfway through. That should encourage you. But it amazes me. Because our nature, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. I didn't get my desire because of you. Caleb never did that. I don't see him saying that. Ever. Why is Caleb in the wilderness? Why is Joshua in the wilderness? Didn't they say, the land is ours! Let's take it! It was the other 10 and all the other gripers. Why didn't they get to go? You know why Caleb didn't go and didn't get his mountain when he wanted it 45 years before? Do you want to know why? He wholly followed the Lord. And you know what? The Lord led him away. Stay with me now. And he didn't get his desire right then. And God himself led them out into the wilderness. Well, yeah, but it was because everybody else. Wait a minute, is it God? God? Couldn't God have said, Caleb, that mountain's yours today, now. I'll wipe out everybody and give it to you. But God didn't do that, did he? 45 years. And some of you are bitter because you didn't get your desire a year ago. Some are bitter because you didn't get it a month ago. Some are bitter because you didn't get it 20 years ago. And you've been bitter ever since. And Caleb, for 45 years, said, God, I know it's coming. I see it. I see my little house built on that mountain. And I'm excited, God. And he, you know, he recognizes that God has done some great things day after day after. Don't you see it? Why didn't you get that desire? Oh, yeah, but look what God did. That's what Caleb did. God, you know, Caleb, he just kept looking at how good God is. Do you know that just because you didn't get your answer to prayer that you prayed a year ago or whatever it was, God's still good. Do you know that desire that you had 5 years ago that has not happened yet? God's still good. Look what Caleb did here. It says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. You say, what's the big deal? Because everybody else was dying. Caleb's getting excited. I'm not sure Caleb at every funeral got excited and said, whoopee! Another one down. I don't think that's how it was. But he is excited. He's alive. Well, what's that prove? Proves God's keeping his word. Flavius over here died. Procurus over here, he died. Hello? Yeah. But God kept him alive. He said every day he woke up and said, wow, I'm still alive. I'm going to get that mountain. Why do we have to be so negative? Let's look at what God has done.
I didn't get my desire.
Yeah, but what all has God done? He's still God. Uh-huh. See, most people look at 45 years in the wilderness and get all bent out of shape. But instead, how about in the wilderness, count your blessings, name them one by one. And look at all God's done in those 45 years. Count your blessings. See, delay does not affect God's faithfulness. Delay doesn't affect that. Delay doesn't affect God's blessings. You know what he says in verse 11? As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now I can't hardly imagine it really be, but he felt that way. Boy, I wish I could be as strong at 85 as I was at 40. But I'm not as strong at 51 as I was at 40. So maybe God's going to give me a boost. But that's the way Caleb looked at it. And what a blessing. You know, he's just saying, God, you're so good to me. You know, I was ready to fight him then, and I'm ready to fight him now. Let me say this. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, there's no reason why a delay should weaken it. You just keep your joy. And the Bible says the only way we lose our joy is we give it up. No man can take it from you. You give it up. Delay doesn't affect God's blessing. And delay doesn't affect God's power either. Because here's what he says. He says, verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And I think that's the strength he's talking about. He said, I'm just as strong as I was then because my God is strong. And if the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Delay never affects God's power. You know, well, I desire something and I want to see God do it. And it's been a year. Do you think God lost his power in that year? He can do it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Delay has no effect on God's power. Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. God can do it at any time. But why doesn't he do it now? Don't know, but he's God. And when you wholly follow him, you trust him. Why did Job have to sit and listen to his friends say all the unique things they said? I guess because something had to be written so that we could hear it and it would help us. I don't know. Why didn't my dad get saved right after I got saved? Oh, he was far from it then. I don't know. Seems like that would have been a good thing. Why did George Luger, I've given that testimony, man with cancer, why didn't he get saved? He got saved 2 weeks before he died. Why didn't he get saved sooner? I don't know. Boy, he could have driven a bus. He could have served God. I don't understand all that stuff. I just know this. I know that delay has nothing to do with you getting your desire. The only thing it has to do with it is what you do during the delay. How you respond, and if you quit, and if you give up. Caleb did not. Caleb said, I want that mountain. 45 years later, he got it. He got it. Number one, we see his desire. Number two, his decision. Number three, his delay. And number four is his delight. Verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb. Isn't that something? 45 years later. Well, I told you, grandkids, bless God, there's my mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. And he got his mountain. Now look, I don't think God's going to make you wait 45 years. For many of us, we don't have that. But I believe this, he might make you wait a week. You may have to wait a month. You may even have to wait a year. You may have to wait several years. But if that desire is put there by God, and God's given you a right desire, and God has made it clear, then you tell all the naysayers who want to melt your heart, you just say, you know what? Just leave me alone. I believe this. I believe this is what God wants. I'm praying for this. And if there's a Joshua around here who will pray with me, I wish you would. And if there's some folks that believe God can do anything, I wish you would pray with me. And we're gonna claim a mountain. And we're gonna get God to whatever time it takes, we're gonna watch God do a great, great thing. You know what? There's so little miraculous things happening in Christians' lives because we quit. We give up too easy. We get discouraged too easy. We see the walled city instead of the mountain. By the way, which is taller, the mountain or the walled city? Yeah. Get your eyes. Which is taller? The children of Anak, the giants. They might have been 7 foot, 8 foot, maybe 9, maybe 10 foot. I don't know. They were freaks. You know? But which is taller, them or the mountain? I'll tell you, as Caleb had to turn around, and I believe he had tears in his eyes as he had to turn around with all the people, not because of his sin, because of their sin. As he had to turn around and he had to go away from that mountain, as long as he could see it, I guarantee he burned it into his mind and into his heart. That desire. I don't want anything to ever take away my desire for that mountain. I don't care what it is. I want to remember that mountain. And far after he couldn't see the walls, and he couldn't see the giants, and he couldn't see the enemy, he could see that mountain. And he remembered it, and he kept it in his mind. And God gave him his delight, the desire of his heart. Let's bow our heads, please. You sit here today and you say, "Preacher, you reminded me of something I prayed about years ago, but I've sort of forgotten about it." Or maybe there's something God's just put a desire in your heart even today. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart about something. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Slip it up all over. "God's speaking to my heart." Thank you. Many. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Anyone? "Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Do not know if I'm going to heaven." Father, bless the invitation. Help us to make the decisions you've laid on our hearts. Lord, you've put desires in hearts all over this room. Years ago, months ago, days ago, today, you put some desires that we want, that are right, that are good. Help us to follow you wholly, no matter where that leads. And Lord, help us to keep that desire by faith in our hearts until we receive that which you put in our hearts to do. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. 303. "My faith looks up to thee." God's speaking to your heart today. On the first verse, if you need to come, you come.
"My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me,
bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you need to come today and pray, you could join these. That desire. "Well, preacher, people convince me it's not possible." Don't listen to people, listen to God. Desire. "Well, it's been 5 years." That so? Why don't you realize, like Caleb, you're still alive. You know, as long as you're alive, God can do that. Believe Him. Trust Him. I'm talking about big things. He's God. He can do anything. Had God given him the mountain that day, the first day, it wouldn't have taken any faith. He'd just move in. 45 years took 45 years of faith. Could I remind you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. One more verse if you need to come. Come on this verse. All right, look up this way, please. Don't forget at 4:30 we have ensemble practice. At 5 o'clock, all the other practices, no 4 through 6. All right, so 1st through 3rd, and the choirs and prayer times, teens will meet this week. Right? Brother Caleb's healed. Amen. All right, very good. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for your word and the examples that it gives to us of men that you held up in their lives, exhibited strengths such as faith and trust in you even over 45 years. Lord, most of us in this room probably have a mountain that maybe we've given up on. May we go from this room this morning, Lord, and invigorated and encouraged to place our faith and trust in you, see the desires of our hearts. Lord, you demonstrated time and time again in your word and in the lives of those that you've gone on before us that when our will is aligned with yours, you're willing to give us those desires. Father, may we walk in thy steps this week. May you challenge us and strengthen us. And Lord, those that are going to pastor school this week, may we be encouraged and strengthened in your word and given the mountains that you desire us to have. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Bring us safely again together, we pray in Jesus' name.